His Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Size Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Sai Ram. Loving pranams at the lotus feet of our Supreme Lord Sai, the voice, the ears, and the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, and good morning to you, dear listeners. Today is the very first day of March 2018, and the time in the ashram right now is exactly 42 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time, and we have just minutes ago completed and concluded the morning aarti in the mandir. It is also the time of the day when the longing hearts are inching towards the holiest of shrines on the face of this planet, that is, the Mahasannidhi of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. On behalf of all our listeners, I bow to the divine energy emanating from their supremely sacred spot. What a blessing it is to even focus our thoughts on this holy land where the mind is calm, the spirit at ease, and what to speak of the heart. The heart is always at home here. On that comforting note, let me update you on the current weather conditions in Prashanthi Nilayam. Clear skies, crisp breeze, comfortable evenings and nights and mornings, and rather warm afternoons. We have all the makings of the exam season that the thousands of Baba's beloved students are currently gearing up for. Meanwhile, traffic in downtown Puttaparthi was smooth this morning, no hiccups whatsoever. And the ashram and all its allied institutions are currently being served by the Sevadal volunteers from the state of Maharashtra. The National Board exams known as the CBSE or the Central Board of Secondary Education begin shortly for the high school students in the valley here, and these will go on till the 15th of April for various batches of Sathya Sai school students and university students who will all be writing their exams for various courses. At Radio Sai, we wish every student facing exams anywhere in the world the very best of Baba's blessings. May each child approach this period with confidence, faith in themselves and God, systematic hard work, and a relaxed mind, even though I wonder if that is a realistic expectation. So if you know any students, dear listeners, if you can't help them to de-stress, please ensure you don't stress them by setting up any unrealistic goals. Everybody's really trying their very best, I'm sure. Let each of us do our best, and to God, let's leave the rest. By the way, this is your host Karuna coming to you live from the world's most stress-free zone where bliss is the only experience. My hood is known as Prashanthi Nilayam, India, and it is, as you know, the spiritual capital of the universe. And I invite you warmly to come home to the divine Mama Sai anytime you want to de-stress and experience bliss and a recharge, a spiritual recharge. Today on Morning Glory, I have a question for our listeners, and this one relates to the history of the Sathya Sai Avatars mission. It's a very easy breezy question, I think, and I'm hoping many, many listeners will try to respond to this and get the right answer. Here comes the question. Can you name Bhagwan Baba's educational institution that is turning 50 years of age this year? Which Sathya Sai Education Institution is going to be celebrating its golden anniversary this year, that is in 2018. Please note one request. Along with your answer, I need your full name, the city and the state where you are located. If you are participating from outside of Bharat, outside of India, please also add the name of your country. I will share the correct answer with you at the end of this morning's show on the other side of the program I have lined up. And I will also announce the names of all those with the right answers. And while you sit down to email me your responses to the question, which Satyasai Education Institution turns 50 this year and will be celebrating its Golden Jubilee, I will play for you part 2 of The Fleeting Moments with Sri Vijay Simha, which I debuted last week right here on Morning Glory. Meanwhile, please email me at karuna@radiosai.org. I repeat my email ID, where you can send me your responses to the question I have posed. My email ID is Karuna, K for kite, A for America, R for Russia, U for Uganda, N for Norway, A for America again, KARUNA@RadioSai. RadioSai is one word, RadioSai.org. And I will be reading the answers on the other side of the interview I'm about to play for you. And this is A Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, Part 2 with Sri Vijay Simha. He's in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishu Prushti. Please enjoy.
Also tell me, you know, when you look at working in the corporate sphere, and nowadays when you tell the youngsters that, you know, you've got to walk on the path of truth, you have to walk on the path of righteousness. I mean, in fact, that is the motto of our institute, Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. I mean, we all understand it. We all idealistically feel that, yes, that is what, how, that is how the world should be. But often you would think that some of the youngsters don't take it so seriously. They feel that, you know, when you are actually growing, perhaps you will have to compromise. You can't be so idealistic. You can't be a Mahatma Gandhi, you know, then you will probably not get there. As far as climbing the corporate ladder is concerned, here and there, you got to make some compromises. What are your views on this?
So, I do think that, definitely, I think one, I can only talk of my experiences. So I do think that, at least, you know, my decision has been to never compromise on my ethics. So I think, actually, luckily, I'm in this field of data and analytics where I keep joking with, you know, my colleagues at work and other colleagues in the past works too, is that the goal of analytics is to seek the truth.
Oh, so wow.
in a spiritual sense too, you know, we're all seeking the truth.
Yes.
But I think the truth is there's no one truth. So we keep joking in the data science or the analytics area that, you know, truth can only be triangulated, right? Mm. Because, you know, definitely, you know, one algorithm will work or other algorithm is better than that. Somebody will come with a third algorithm. But in the end, right, if there is truth, I think all of these will triangulate around it. Mm. So I can give an example. For example, one of the companies I've joined in US, a very good company, I think, but then, you know, what one needs to understand also is that in big companies too, right, the, like, you know, thousands of, tens of thousands of people, and more than the mission or the stated mission and the values of the company, right, a lot of values and culture, a lot of subcultures, a lot of microcultures within the companies based on the team that you're involved in, based on the, you know, group that you're involved in. And it so happened that in this company that I was working for, I joined and I was supposed to write a report on performance of a certain marketing initiative. And this report, the data was showing that, the numbers were showing that it was not as expected. It was a little bit lower than what they've expected. So I think one of the messages I got from a colleague is that, hey, this is... Now this is normal. These things don't perform. Marketing always doesn't perform as expected. So one has to be a little bit liberal in how you showcase it to the outside, the group. Because what happens in data and analytics area is once you write a report, right, the business side, right, the business users don't get into the details of how the numbers were produced. They just trust the numbers.
Yes.
Right? So I feel that it is our, you know, like duty to, you know, report the truth, right? So then I said, I don't know how to make it better. All I know is report what it is, right? Then there was, then they said, hey, you can, relax your thresholds a little bit and all the corporate jumbo mumbo to say that, hey, make it look good. I said, I don't know how to make it look good. Like, I can say what it is, and then it is for somebody to decide if it's good or bad. Like, that's not a call that I'm going to take, right? And then this went on for a week, and then I felt like, hey, you know, if this is what is expected, then I'll probably quit the company. Right, because my belief is that you should never, you know, professionally, right, or even personally, we should not work in environments that is not aligned with our internal compass, right? And our internal compass is being integrity, showing integrity, at least, you know, in this, sphere of life. So, so I went to the, you know, head of the whole department, and I said, hey, please let me know what is your expectation, because I sense, you know, certain subjectivity in the way these things are being interpreted, because you can't call somebody, you know, it's not as black and white as truth and lies, right? Or, you know, a dharma or, I mean, those, it's very, you know, gray area, right? So, I said, you know, I know this way to work, and this is the only way I know to work. If there's any different expectation from you, you know, you let me know now, because I'll not waste your time and I'll not waste my time, right?
Yeah.
So, then, you know, he said, you know, Vijay, thank you. And this was my second week of work, right? So, new company, I don't have any network or backing there. I'm, you know, I could have been totally misrepresented and, you know, whatever, sidelined or whatever. But, you know, this man, this leader, he said, no, thank you for the courage. Thank you for, you know, standing up to this and then reporting this. Then he wrote a note to the whole department without mentioning my name, because he wanted to protect privacy and all, that intellectual honesty is the only thing that stops us from being like, you know, quacks, and, you know, like, you know, we have all grown up in, you know, we all have great degrees from, you know, esteemed colleges and, you know, background from other companies. Intellectual honesty is the only thing that stops us from, you know, being true to our company, being true to our shareholders. And the other examples of, he gave a few examples of companies that went down because of, you know, a lot of misreporting and all that. So, but I think, you know, I think it is that courage of, you know, yes, conviction that, you know, you have to stand true to your own values that you've learned, you know, in your education with Swami, for example, and staying true to them for me at that point in time was far more important, because I was on a visa in a different country. If I didn't have the job, then, you know, finding a job would be certainly, you know, difficult and would be an unpleasant thing too, because, you know, again, you remove a city and all that probably, and then find a job and take a break for a few months and all that. But I think it is that conviction that, hey, you know, I can't have an easy good night's sleep doing the things that I was asked to do, right? Even if it meant like little bit of, so it's not, as I said, it's not a blatant lie, yeah, but it is about bending of the truth. But
yes,
we can't do that. We can't do that. We should not do that.
Wow. That's fantastic. I mean, that courage, to walk on that path, is something, that comes from a very solid foundation within, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the faith that, you know, you do this right, and then, you know, that, whatever, the righteousness itself will save you. I think it is that. It is faith in Swami's words that, you know, do the right thing. It is faith in the institution that brought us up, with the injunction, as you said, about Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara, right? I think we should be the flag bearers of that, that injunction.
Wow. So going back to your days in the Prashantiniyam campus, you know, after your 3 days in VSC in Vrindavan, you moved to Prashanti 2 years. So any moments from doing your post-graduation in Prashantiniyam?
So again, you know, we were the batch of 97-99. A lot of my classmates, my brothers, were actually from outside. Like, a lot of engineers came. Some of them are here, I think, you know, the warden, the book trust, I think some of them are still working here in the hospitals. So, a very blessed year, because Swami again gave a lot of chances to entire class. We got like a lot of friends seating and all that. But I remember one birthday actually, the entire Purnachandra auditorium was converted to like a Mount Kailash kind of a scenery. Mm-hmm. And there was a big dance drama being done. I think there was this, acclaimed dancer from Hyderabad or from Andhra Pradesh who was dancing as Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami called us inside PC that day. And he said, Chudandi, Shivudu kuda Swami degaruchi dance chestunadu.
Oh.
So I know we pray to Swami as the avatar of Shiva, but I think Idi Kailasham, the background was all white mountains and in cotton or whatever they put, white paint, as Kailash. And so I think some of these statements,
so Swami said, even Shiva is coming and dancing.
Shiva, because he came and took Bad Namaskar from Swami before that.
My Bad Namaskar.
So I think some of these are very majestic statements, right? Yes. Which Swami says in a very casual way, but I think when introspected, I think convey much more deeper meaning, right? So that was one. I think I was in the escort team. I think when Swami would come from Vrindavan and all, we would go all the way up till the edges of the village, and then escort Swami back to the ashram, right? So I think one of those incidents actually, we escorted back, sat in front of the lions where I think the round where the sannidhi is there now, and Swami looked at me very deeply, and I didn't know why. And he kept looking, and I didn't know what to do. I was just looking, staring back at Swami. And next day I got a call from my mom that my dad had met an accident.
Oh my God.
So he was learning driving, and he was driving his new driver, and I think something happened, and he just rammed the car into the tree nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a lot of stitches on his head and a lot of profuse bleeding and all that.
God.
So, I think, so my relationship with Swami was not so much of the, we talking and, asking and all that, but more about, I think, he taking care of me and my family that way. So I definitely knew that, because this, the length of the stair was much more than normal, right? Like, he would glance and move on.
Yes.
But in this situation, he got up down from the car. The escort boys would stay next to the car, and, Swami would take Aarti and, go for a lunch after coming back from Vrindavan. And, he just kept looking at me, and I didn't know what to do, what would I say, right? So, man, he was not talking, he was not asking, how are you, how is your dad, nothing, none of that. It was all like non-verbal. So I think these are some experiences I remember. I think, definitely, cherish moments with all the teachers, great teachers we had here. I think very dedicated. I think, I remember Bhagya sir saying that, being an MBA teacher, he would never read a newspaper to keep up with the current affairs, because the pertinent news that he had to share or discuss with the student would come to him somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Either a walker by would, say him some this. So I think a lot of these great Sudhir Bhaskar sir, Kumar Bhaskar sir, I think Radha Swami sir, I think a lot of esteemed professors, I think just to be in their classes, I view that as kind of a blessing. I think Swami definitely is the ultimate blessing, but I think even, his kept as teachers, right, the caliber of these individuals in their own professional way, for even if you kind of keep the spiritual part aside, itself is great. And I think learned so many lessons even at the hostel, with Shiv Shankar Sai sir, Renju sir, Rangarajan sir, all these sirs who were very dedicated, very very humble at the same time, very very accomplished, but are serving Swami at his feet. I think have great memories of all that.
Wow. So how was it when you had to actually leave the institute after your MBA?
So it so happened that when I was about to leave the institute, I was kind of, again, like every student, I think, goes through it as a dilemma of, what to do next. Some of my batchmates were actually, waiting, and became waiting boys for a while.
Mm. Swami's instructions.
Waiting for Swami's instructions to do next and all that. And some of them wanted to stay back with Swami, and then It just so happened that, you know, I came back from my hometown one day and then, Swami happened, just a coincidence, right? So, Swami called all the waiting, second MBA boys for in, Trai interview. And a lot of my batchmates were there and, Swami was, asking each of them, what would you do next? What do you want to do? I think, I think some boys said, Swami, we want to serve at your feet, which is the most noble thing to do. But by then, because I went home and had some, had some understanding of what I want to do and discussion with my family and all that, I told Swami that, I want to work. Swami agreed. Swami nodded and said, new job chai. You go out and get a job. And then he went on to the other boys, one or two boys, and again came back to me and said, new job chai, second time too. So I don't know the importance of that. I think I'm yet to figure the second, time back. It may be that, I've had a couple of, lot more job changes than an average person. So maybe that, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that something else is in offing. I don't know that yet. But I think I definitely, had the grace of Swami's blessing and the clarity that I want you to do this, or it's more like if you want to do this, I bless you. So you can interpret it either ways, but I think it's more about that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So with that clarity, with that blessings, you stepped out, and how was the journey in the initial years? Was it very challenging in the first few years in the corporate life?
It was actually so. What happened was, so I went to the States because that was kind of the theme of the years in those days, that it kind of lured me as well. Mm-hmm. To kind of go to the United States and then to kind of work there. I felt that an education would be better or easier route to kind of secure a job. So I went and did my MBA from University of California, I was very glad. I think even before I joined college, I actually went and actually seeked out the Sai Center and made some friends with the Sai young adults, very good friends. I think they remain friends to this date. Actually, very helpful, very gracious, very nice people, very selfless too. So they kind of became my anchor, participated in many seva activities in the US too. But I think to answer your question, so what so happened in, because I graduated in 2002, which is the middle of the previous recession that US had, there was a lot challenging to find a job. So it almost took me, I graduated in let's say June, almost for 6 months I didn't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always this pressure of, because US education is not so cheap, right? So, my dad helped me to kind of secure a loan, obviously he was the guarantor of the loan. So there was always this pressure of, I have to start repaying the loan at some point. And if I don't get a job, I have to return back to India. And repaying a US education loan with a job in India is not that easy, right? Because it was a big loan. So I was kind of desperate to kind of find a job, but I think the market just was not favorable at all. And then you kind of you keep applying day after day, talk to many people, none of the leads materialize, not many people respond back to you with your job application. So it was kind of a very stressful and challenging situation. I think the only two anchors at that time were family and then friends, Sai friends, and then obviously Swami, of course. But I think when a challenging situation stretches out longer, right, when you feel that your prayers are not answered, then you actually start, I think I actually started questioning my own faith and my own faith in Swami, because you feel that you're mentally asking a lot, and you have that intensity, but if the results don't materialize, then I think, you know, a doubt kind of appears in your mind. And it's very easy to then blame the God, right? Blame your God, saying that, hey, you're not helping me. I think the sanity of the message of Swami saying, you know, is it the bhakti or the bhakta? Who's at fault, right? That doesn't come to you in that moment. You just say that it's much easy to, you know, shift the blame and mentally be comfortable that, hey, you didn't help me. You're not helping me, you know. And then life was also getting a little challenging, because then I became very irritable a little bit, because, you know, nothing was working out. But then one of the Sai brothers reminded me of when I asked him this question, hey, I'm going through this situation, what to do, right? So he reminded me of this favorite or famous kirtan of Annamaya, which says that even in the most felt hardship, God's name is the only recourse. Like, as a devotee, you should not, like, there is no other recourse, right? So, it is not our own talent, it is not our own, you know, one should believe that it's not our own talent or our own strength that carried it so far. So, it is just like, go back to your roots and then, you know, keep on, you know, there's no other, you know, you don't know when this phase will end, but you have to get through this phase, and the only anchor or the recourse or the only rope you have at that point is to, you know, tether to is, you know, God's name, right? Mm. That is a great reminder for me. I'm very grateful to having such great Sai friends. And, you know, by Swami's grace, I think I found a job after 6 months. I was about to actually come back to India. I almost found a job in India. I was about to return to India because my dad also said, oh, you're wasting your life there. You know, why come back to India? We'll figure out the loan part later. Don't worry too much. But then I found a job, and then very Sai coincidentally, my starting date was November 22nd. Wow. So I knew that it was Swami's blessing, because that was a convocation day usually, or every year, right? And it was, you know, the eve of Swami's birthday. So I definitely knew that it was Swami's blessing. And I think to this date, I think, you know, I carry that faith that, you know, wherever you go, wherever all of us go, right, I think He's there. He's there with us.
Wow. And I think the time you realize, isn't it, all these tests which Swami puts us through, I mean, it's not that Swami puts us through, it is what we go through. And these are tests of our faith, and they, once you stick on, they become testimonies of His love, isn't it? After that, you have experienced His love in so many ways, isn't it?
Yeah, I do remember Swami saying, I think you used this word before, right? Experiments. I think Swami did say that don't anchor your faith on other people's experiences. You know, experiment with me and create those experiences for yourself so that they become anchors of your faith. So I do agree with that.
Wow. Vijay, you are someone who has worked in so many reputed companies and have had now a very good experience in terms of what it is to work in the corporate sphere. If you were to address all these students of Bhagwan's University or aspiring youngsters who want great careers which are anchored to Swami's values, what would be your advice to them? How should they prepare themselves for such a life?
I think it's not. First of all, I should caveat the whole thing saying, I think my classmate brother BRC gave a great speech the other day, or maybe a few years ago, where he started the whole discourse, his talk, by saying, "Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate giram." I think what I've done so far, not just for the sake of saying it, but, you know, it's, you know, what I've, the experiences I've had, in a both professional way, are all blessings of Swami. There's no doubt about it. I would never imagine that I could work at Google, one of the most desirable companies to work for, or even for that matter, Amazon, which is a very, you know, great place to work at. But I think, you know, all these happen because of Swami's grace. There's no doubt about it. So one thing I've realized, right? So, for people who are, you know, who want to make a career, who have professional success as their goal, I think it's a very right goal. I think one should definitely aspire for that. In fact, with whatever field you choose, right, whether you're a doctor or an engineer or a, you know, manager or a, you know, healthcare specialist or whatever, right, I think, one should aspire to be the best in that, right? I think, for me, I think, this is what I keep telling myself, you know, my family, is that passion, having passion is the most important thing. Everything else will fall in place. And whether it is passion for God or passion for job, right, it's the same actually. Because if you believe that work is worship, I think, you know, then there's no separation. Whether you do, you know, bhajan for 30 minutes or you spend 30 minutes, you know, thinking about a problem at work, I think, only thing is, yeah, I think definitely there is a reward associated with work, a very, you know, a compensation or, you know, worldly reward. But I think there is, you know, but I think, you know, separating ourselves is much tougher, you know, it's not easy, but I think, like my mantra has been that, you know, be very passionate about what you do and give it all.
Wow. I mean, whatever you do, be it a bhajan or be it a chore at home or be it the work in the office, yeah, be passionate about, yeah, whatever you do.
When you're cleaning vessels, make sure that the vessel is the cleanest. Like when you are, you know, polishing your shoes, make sure that there's no speck of it. Like, wow, I think Swami calls it, perfection, right? So
yes,
it is passion and perfection, right? Strive for perfection.
Yes.
I think, you know, perfection is a very dicey word because, you know, sometimes you can also fall for quest for it and not balance your life. But yes, I think passion and perfection with some balance is, I think, the best.
Wow, fantastic. Ultimately, I think one beautiful takeaway that you said, you know, is just once your passion, I mean, in whatever you do, that becomes your devotion actually.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, our whole life is a saga of devotion because the whole life is a journey of going back to Him. And but with what intensity we do, I think that is what differentiates one person from the other, isn't it?
Yeah. So, for example, you know, at work, as I told you, right, I kind of try to do other, like, over-deliver, right? I think...
Yes.
I think that's a word I use, but I think it is very important because, I think you want to definitely leave a mark, right? You want to leave a mark that, hey, you know, like, this person is different. This person can relate to us at a very human level. This person can empathize with us. This person, you know, has the energy to do, you know, 10 other things, 10, you know, not just the one thing that we ask him to do, 10 other things. This person can be an all-rounder, right? Mm-hmm. This person can also do good work, but also do many other things, right? I think for me, I think that's been the, I think at least in the recent years, that's been the mantra since I've come back to from US. So.
And in fact, you know, as you narrate this, I can only think about your days in the hostel because that's what we are doing. When, even as you are good in your academics, you are always trying to do different things. And that has sort of only now got on to a different sort of platform.
Yeah, so I have a small team, so I think for me, you know, the way I view them is a little bit extension of my team, I think, or my family actually. And then, you know, I keep telling, you know, my spouse as well that, their betterment, is equally important to me. They're, you know, to make them shine as young professionals, to be able to kind of create opportunities for them, enable their growth. So I think it is it is about, you know, I think one of my colleagues recently summarized it, like, I think the famous question, right, people ask is, hey, what do you want, what's your goal in life, right? And obviously I can't say in a professional setting that my goal in life is, maybe, you know, with Swami or something, but I think, I would say that, you know, growth, helping others grow, helping the company grow, helping people at your work grow and find themselves, right? Because a lot of our teams that people who join us are fresh college graduates.
Mm.
They're also looking for direction. They're looking for mentorship. They're looking for, you know, what should I do in this situation? So when people seek you out, right? When, you know, unasked, unrequested. There is no formal arrangement that people should seek you out. But when people seek you out, you know that you're creating value.
Mm. Wow. When people think that, you know, I need some help, and when they think of you, that makes you happy, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah.
Wow, I think that is a very, very fulfilling moment for someone like you. And I think that there's the same with so many Sai students also. I mean, you feel so happy when you're of some use to society, and that's what Swami always wanted. And in fact, the other thing that comes to me as you're mentioning all this is how Bhagwan used to reiterate in his discourses to management students, time and again, he used to say that, you know, men are more important than all the wealth of the world. That's what Swami used to say. And I think this is something that you're doing in your life.
Yeah, we are actually one of my, I think there's a quote at work we say is that, you know, an A player, right, in the team is more valuable than $1 million client.
Hmm.
Right? Because I think, you know, people who kind of contribute to work, people who kind of relate and, you know, perform well, achieve at work are, because, you know, typically I think, you know, companies do the myopic view of giving importance, more importance to the, you know, revenue generating clients rather than employees. But I think a new kind of theme is emerging where I think companies are getting more employer centric, employee friendly, because I think they believe that that is the only sustained competitive advantage.
Wow.
To be able to nurture your talent, to be able to grow your talent, to be able to make the culture receptive, and as I think I use the word called talent magnet, right?
Mm.
Because good talent in the industry is very scarce today.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that is fantastic. I mean, this is what Swami was saying. In fact, now when you read some of the discourses that Swami had given in the 1986-87 and in those early years, they seem so prophetic. Swami used to talk about management by walking around. Swami also, I remember, used to stress so much on humility. And in fact, I remember reading some time back this article which analyzed the qualities which has made the top leaders of today what they are. I mean, some of the best leaders of today, I mean, the leader of Microsoft, the leader of Oracle, and many of them are Indians actually in these times. And when they analyzed all this leadership, they found that one trait which took them to the top is humility. The trait where they were, in the earlier times, you were very positive about someone being very aggressive. They said, you know, the way to go about is, you know, be aggressive. But these are leaders who are not aggressive in that sense. They are very positively aggressive in the sense that, you know, even though they are very forward-looking, but these are people whom every team member feels comfortable to work with. And they find them very humble. So they feel they are very approachable. In fact, and they say that, and many of these leaders are from Indian origin, and it is partly because of the value system that is there in the Indian blood, that is the Indian culture. And when I was reading about all that, you know, what came to me is this is what Swami was saying all the time, isn't it, in the management classes. I mean, Swami in fact came to the on Sundays and spoke to the management students.
Sure. Yeah, we kind of compiled all those MBA discourses in the book called Man Management. I was actually one of the original compilers of creation of that book in the hostel. But I think, yeah, I do remember some of those. I do agree. I think, it's kind of a 80s word now, but I think it's kind of on the back being in fashion, the whole notion of being emotionally aware, having a high emotional quotient, rather than just having a high intellectual quotient, right, or IQ as they call it, is back. I think that is the only way, I think, you know, in the next or this century or, you know, next 50 years, 100 years, whatever, I know technology can change and all that, but the only sustaining, force of nurturing great companies is this emotional quotient and emotionally aware cultures.
Yes, wow. I mean, where you work with a heart.
Yeah.
isn't it?
Yep.
Wow, fantastic. Lovely. It's so beautiful that your son also is here, the little one. So, Sriman, so it's now your time to take the mic. So please tell us, your father is so happy that you are here, you are spending 1 week in Prashantinilam in the month of December as you await the new year. So how has it been for you to be in Prashanti the last few days? Tell us the experience of Prashanti.
I like Prashantinilam because we get to go like to the Samadhi more near to God. And one thing which I understood is when you run alone, it's called a race. And when you run with God, it's called grace.
Wow.
So I also like Prashanti Nilayam because we can stay there in the rooms and like every day 2 times we get to go and touch the Samadhi of God. So, and also like there are canteens which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a living experience here. After hearing my father's speech, I think I want to go to the primary school.
Oh, really? You want to go and see the primary school or you want to study in the primary school?
I want to study in the primary school.
Oh, wow. That's a very beautiful thing. That didn't occur to you before?
No.
But now you feel very strongly about it.
Yeah.
Wow. And this is perhaps Swami telling you because just the new year is just starting and you got this new thought. It's a brand new idea. Maybe you should explore it.
Now, my mother's is that at Swami's will, we can come to Prashanti Nilayam. So when Swami was alive, he used to tell who will come to Prashanti Nilayam and who will not. Now I think he's still doing that. Now I understood why I came to Prashanti Nilayam to understand about more about God from my father's speech and get the flashback about my God, dad. Thank you.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you very much. So that is something wonderful, Vijay. I mean, I never expected. Did you expect your son to say all that?
No. We've kind of considered the thought, but we have to talk, and it's a big decision, right?
So, yeah. But just that.
Just even the possibility of it and opening the door for that thought itself is a big change.
Wow. So Prashanti is a magic place, right? don't know what is going to happen when, once you come here.
Yeah, my kids, for Christmas they were feeling sad that, they were not in the house because they left a note for Santa to come.
Oh.
But we were here. So, and we couldn't leave the milk outside because milk would get spoiled. So we left it in the fridge, with a cookie. And I think we were wondering, what gifts Santa would bring this year. So it looks like, this whole week itself is a gift of, experiencing Swami, kind of taking my kids around to, Chaitanya Jyoti Museum or the planetarium or the stadium. And I think it was, my way of connecting back to Swami and Prashanti after many years.
Wow, fantastic. And Swami is doing it in the most beautiful manner, in the most memorable manner.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Vijay, for coming to the studios. It was really a very beautiful experience going through the journey of your life and the way Swami has shaped you. And perhaps with time, you'll be able to connect more dots.
Yeah.
How Bhagwan has been touching your life and being orchestrating your life. I think with time we will see him and his work at play in our lives. Thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Yeah, thank you. I want to mention one last thing though. I think eternally grateful to my parents, to my in-laws and my family, including my spouse, wife, Archana, who has been in recent years anchor for my family spirituality. She's doing Balvika's classes in Bangalore on her own, and then also she's teaching Vedam to kids and all that. And she is using every opportunity that Swami has given us to kind of, you know, relive and, you know, spread the message of Swami to young kids and all that. I think she's been the anchor of her family. As I got busy with my professional career, I think to teach our own kids and the kids of her, you know, society and her Bal Vikas. So I'm eternally grateful to all the people in my life, you know, my sister who studied in Anantapur, my in-laws, my parents, and, you know, extended family as well, who all into Swami. And sometimes I feel that, you know, I'm the pot, you know, even though I have a hole, right? I'm definitely not perfect. I'm still the stone that the sculptor is chiseling away. A lot of growth, lot of, you know, finer cuts to be made. But still, I think it is the pot and the ecosystem that is helping me sustain this. So, Sai Ram, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, wonderful. In fact, when I think about your life, I mean, your parents were always devoted, as you mentioned, to Lord Venkateshwara, and it is the merits of their devotion that, you know, Swami pulled you, because Swami always used to mention that whatever we are, it's because of our parents and our ancestors. And I mean, I view it that way, because, sure, you know, they are so devoted, and the fruit of their satkarma is you having the proximity, and now your children also taking to Swami so seamlessly, and Swami blessing you with a lovely partner. I think all that is again just sheer blessings of our parents, and the way Swami orchestrates our life once we are hooked to Him, isn't it? Wonderful. Thank you.
Cool.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Radio Sai. This is your host Karuna, and today is the first day of March 2018. The time in Prashanthi Nilayam right now is 28 minutes past 10 a.m. You just heard Mr. Vijay Simha's Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories interview, and he was in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishop Rushdie. I hope you enjoyed the interview as much as I did. I especially liked the part where the little child, his son, came along, and he was so spontaneous in his expression of devotion. It was not rehearsed or thought or premeditated, and the way that child was able to make up his mind that I think I want to join the primary school, I noticed there was a little bit of reticence on part of the dad. All of a sudden, he was thrown this volley by the child, but children's devotion is so clear cut and so spontaneous. I think they are more clearly in touch with their inner self. The transformation happened right here sitting in the studio while the dad was speaking, and that is the magic of Radio Sai, where Swami is always presiding over everything that we do. So we look forward to your feedback to this interview, this episode of Fleeting Moments Lasting Memories with Mr. Vijay Simha. And please, you can send us your feedback or to this program or any other Radio Sai offering by emailing us at listener@radiosai.org. With that, I'm going to read you something, and then I will announce the names of our listeners who got the answer right to my question this morning. What I'm going to read you is this. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba started the Anantapur College on 22nd of July 1968 in a makeshift building. In 1971, when Bhagwan Baba laid the foundation of the new college campus, he said, and I quote him, "India is being forged into Bhogabhumi, land of luxury or indulgence, a land of skyscrapers, tinned food, air conditioning and television. Indians are being shaped into imitative, insurgent, indisciplined mass. They are being transplanted on other soils and encouraged to grow without roots. This is an insult to the past and a dangerous defiance of history. It is a sacrilege on the history of time, on the sole purpose of the human body. That is the reason I have decided that this college be inaugurated on Guru Purnima Day, as a reminder of the highest tradition, in which the highest ideals of life were instilled by personal example and guidance by the Guru to pupils eager to imbibe. The seed has been planted. It will sprout and spread, heavy with fruits, providing shade, security and sustenance to all. Unquote. Those powerful words from Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba delivered on the 22nd of July 1968, exactly 50 years ago, when he was inaugurating the Sri Satya Sai College of Arts and Science for Women at Anandpur. Later, the same college became the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anandpur campus. Bhagwan, in his divine discourse and in his divine wisdom, knew very well that if you educate a girl, you educate an entire family. I don't know about you, dear listeners, but that makes him the coolest feminist in my opinion. After Anandpur College came the college at Brindavan, Bangalore, which was for boys. After a modest inauguration ceremony, classes were started in an impoverished location while the main building came up slowly. On 9th of June 1969, the Chief Minister of Mysore State at that time, Mr. Virendra Patil, had the honor of inaugurating that college. And speaking on that occasion, the then Vice Chancellor of Bangalore University, to which the Brindavan College was affiliated, described this new college as a gem in the crown of Bangalore University. Now, the Vice Chancellor of the Bangalore University at that time, in 1969, was Dr. Vinaya Krishna Gokak, V.K. Gokak sir, who later became the Vice Chancellor of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, its very first Vice Chancellor. It was time now to turn to Puttaparthi, so in 1978, Baba started the third college. By the beginning of the 80s, there were three colleges in Anandpur, in Bangalore, Brindavan and in Puttaparthi respectively. And they were the three campuses of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a university by itself. And soon when time was ripe, a music college came up and also Muddinhalli campus of the Satya Sai University. So the Satya Sai University started with the first college at Anandpur, followed by one at Brindavan, then Prashanti Nilayam, and finally the music college here, which is now a university, a status college, Sri Satya Sai College from Mirpuri College of Music, and also a campus at Muddinhalli, which is our university, Satya Sai University. So, to learn more, if in case our listeners are interested, you can learn more about the Satya Sai University and its programs and academic programs, its vision, its campuses by visiting us at SSSIHL, that is Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, ssshl.edu.in. ssshl.edu.in. And I want to just take a moment now to share with you all the listeners who got the answer right. First of all, this young boy from Johannesburg, South Africa, Rahul Patel. Wonderful work, Rahul. I'm sure your mother is smiling at you. You continue to keep up the tradition of listening to Morning Glory on behalf of your mother, Suhana Patel, who used to be an avid listener of our Thursday Live. Rahul said it was 22nd July 1968. Well done, Rahul. And he's from South Africa. Sister Lakshmi Menon from Mumbai. Correct answer. Sai Padma, that is P. Lakshmi Padmavati from Vishakhapatnam, Andhra Pradesh. You are right. The answer is indeed the Anandpur College. Sai Sudha Sasi Kumar from Mumbai, who said that she considers herself very fortunate and blessed to be an alumnus of this institution. Yes, Sai Sudha, I'm in the same boat as you. I concur and congratulations. Your answer is right. Anila Mahesh from Dubai. Congratulations to you, Anila. Again, correct answer. More sisters and regular listeners of Morning Glory. Mridula Murthy from Bangalore. Thank you, Mridula, for participating. Yes, your answer is right. Anandpur is indeed, and I know your sister has also studied there. Rekha Loknath from Mysore, Karnataka. Sister Rekha, you always get your answers right. Congratulations. Brother B. Sridhar, who studied in Brindavan, I believe, from 74 to 77 and is now the retired senior branch manager of Syndicate Bank of Puttaparthi. Thank you, brother, for participating. You're right. You have your history correct. Anandpur is the first campus. And Sister Padma Venkatraman, who is a 1992 commerce batch of Anandpur College from Mumbai. Yes, Sister Padma, your answer is right. And you and Sai Sudha and I and thousands of other sisters are very fortunate to be alumnus of this prestigious institute that is celebrating its golden jubilee in July of this year. Two of our listeners did not get the answer right, but they tried. Brother Pratap Makodia of Bhavnagar, Gujarat, thought it was the Satya Sai School. Pratap Bhai, it was the Anandpur College. Same with Bhuvana Sairam, who thought it was the Brindavan College. No, Bhuvana, it was the Anandpur. So I want to thank all our listeners who participated and in this morning's Morning Glory and attempted the question, which I thought was quite easy. I hope now all our listeners know which is the oldest institution that is celebrating its Golden Jubilee. Very shortly here in, I'm sure the celebrations will take place in Anandpur campus as well, possibly in Prashanthi Nilayam. But it's a moment of great pride for and coming of age for that institution, the Satya Sai University, to have a college that has been around for 50 years. Bhagwan has sustained it, run it so efficiently through his instruments and produced thousands of graduates who are very successfully living constructive lives all over the world. And dear listeners, may I just gently remind you, in this equation, there was no transaction of any money. For example, I have studied there and the amount it cost my parents was zero, zilch, nothing. So this is the generosity of God incarnate. And this is, he said these turnkey projects as blueprints for others to emulate, for government to follow, that every education is a higher education is every woman's right, every child's right. And it should be available to them, not at the expense of going into heavy debt. You heard Brother Vijay Simha in his interview speak of his father taking a big loan to educate him in the US, and then when he was not getting a job promptly enough, how stressed he was because that loan had to be repaid. We had no loans to repay. The only loan we have is of immense gratitude for the grace and love and caring that Swami has showered on us. And that loan we can only pay by living our lives on the basis of the values that Swami taught us. Everything else, there is no monetary transaction here. We ate the best food. We live comfortably. Recently, I was at Anandpur and I'm astonished at the excellent comfort and facilities that the students have now compared to many years ago. Everything has been upgraded. Everything has been sorted and improved. It's an amazing facility, amazing seat of learning, great infrastructure, wonderful teachers. Again, the same tradition. There is no cost to any of this. The only currency that Swami ever trades in is the currency of selfless love. I hope we can all live up to the grace, that immense grace that we have received from Swami by being his students. On that very grateful note, I am going to play those pieces of music that all of you just love and look forward to every Thursday morning. And with that, I take your permission to bid you Sairam. Wish you a great, wonderful Thursday ahead. And may all things positive, enriching, nourishing and inspiring come your way. Keep smiling, be joyful, life is for the living. Rest Swami will take care of. Enjoy the music and see you again next Thursday. Till then, Jai Sairam, dear listeners.
रोम रोम में बसने वाले राम, रोम रोम में बसने वाले राम राम जय राजा राम 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 जय सीता राम 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 जय राजा राम 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 जय सीता राम 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 जय सीता राम 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 जय राजा राम 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 जय सीता राम 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 जय राजा राम 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 जय
हे गिरिधर गोपाल करुणा सिंधु कपाल भक्तवत्सल सब के संबल मोह
नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना निर्बल के बल दीन के बंधु निर्बल के बल दीन के बंधु बचन सुन के बैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना दर्शन से सुख बिन दर्शन दुख प्रभु मेरो मनवा पावे तुम देखे मेरो सूरज उगे तुम बिछड़े छुप जावे गोपाल अपने पतित को बैगी उबारो नाम रटो दिन रैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हरि मैं नैनहीन तुम नैना हे गिरिधर गोपाल श्यामा दीन दयाल भक्त वत्सल सबके संबल मोकुले संभाल गोपाल 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 गोपाल
महिमा अपार राम जी की महिमा अपार श्री राम जी की महिमा अपार, राम जी की महिमा अपार। सुन लो तो बेड़ा पार, सुन लो तो बेड़ा पार, श्री राम जी की महिमा अपार, राम जी की महिमा अपार। नीरजनयना मुखारविंदा, श्यामल छवि अति सुंदर राम, करुणा स्वरूप निर्मल स्वभाव
श्री राम,
करुणा स्वरूप निर्मल स्वभाव, भक्तों के प्राण गुणशीलवान, रवि कुल मंडन दशरथ नंदन, मुनि जन रंजन नयन अभिराम, जिनकी कृपा से पाथर भी तारे, एक ही बाण से दुष्ट संहारे, चरणों की धूल से पापी उतारे, ये शुभ दिन उन्हीं का मना लो आज, ये शुभ दिन उन्हीं का मना लो आज, मुबारक हो सबको श्री राम जी के साथ, रघुपति राघव राजा राम, पतित पावन सीता राम,
जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री राम, जय जय श्री
राम। एक ओंकार सतनाम करता पूरक निरपार निर्वैर अकाल मूरत
अर्जुनि से भंग
गुरु प्रसाद जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच
नानक होसी भी सच।
Yeah.
गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु जी बोलो
वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु जी बोलो
सतनाम 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 जी बोलो
सतनाम 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 जी बोलो
नित नित जपिए तेरे नाम जी बोलो
नित नित जपिए तेरे नाम जी बोलो
सतनाम 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 जी बोलो
सतनाम 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 जी बोलो
राम 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 जी बोलो
राम 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 जी बोलो
नित नित जपिए राम नाम जी बोलो
नित नित जपिए राम नाम जी बोलो
कृष्ण 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 जी बोलो
कृष्ण 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 जी बोलो
नित नित जपिए कृष्ण नाम जी बोलो
नित नित जपिए कृष्ण नाम जी बोलो
गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय
गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय
राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय
राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय
गोविंद जय जय गोपाल 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 जय जय
राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय
राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय
गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय
गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय
गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु जी बोलो वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु वाहे गुरु जी बोलो सत्य नाम सत्यनाम जी बोलो सत्यनाम बोलो सत्यनाम जी बोलो नित्य नित्य जपिए तेरे नाम जी बोलो नित्य नित्य जपिए सत्य नाम सत्यनाम जी बोलो
सत्यनाम
राम 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 जी बोलो बोलो राम 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 जी बोलो सत्यनाम सत्यनाम जी बोलो सत्यनाम कृष्ण 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 जी बोलो कृष्ण 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 बोल कृष्ण 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 जी बोलो कृष्ण कृष्ण
कृष्ण
नित्य नित्य जपिए कृष्ण नाम जी बोलो नित्य नित्य जपिए हरि 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 जी बोलो बोलो हरि 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 जी बोलो सत्य नाम सत्यनाम जी बोलो सत्यनाम सत्यनाम जी बोलो गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय बोलो गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय बोलो गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय రాధా రమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ వాహె గురు వాహె గురు వాహె గురుజీ బోలో వాహె గురు వాహె గురు బోలో వాహె గురు వాహె గురు వాహె గురుజీ బోలో సత్యనామ 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 జీ బోలో సత్యనామ 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 జీ బోలో సత్యనామ 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 సత్యనామ
Thank you.